Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to this evening's webcast. Thank you once again for joining us. We do just appreciate your company. But thank you. Yes, so it's, as you've probably seen on the news, it's a little bit warm over in Canada, isn't it, Barry?
Yes, we're going through a bit of a hot spell in different parts of the country. We measure by the humidex is as well as the temperature. So yesterday it was 43 degrees Celsius, but as I posted on Facebook, I take 43 degrees Celsius in the summer over minus 30 Celsius in the winter, you know, on a cold day. So yeah,
I think we would try to avoid minus 30 or 40 Celsius as well. But we could do a deal, Barry. We could, we could transfer some of our cold to you, and you can transfer some of your warmth to us.
Yes. That would be lovely.
The two out for us.
Yes. But you can keep the rain.
We'll keep the rain. Yeah, we'll keep the rain. But apart from the heat, how's your week going?
Week's going very well. Yeah, nothing new and exciting. You know, a little bit of tinkering in the studio, and but other than that, how about you?
Yeah, it's been a busy week actually. Busy 10 days or so. Last week we had Francis and the boys, and then we were, your children get married and they have grandchildren for you, which is great. Others just have dogs, so we had Hannah and her dog as well, and now we had Hillary and her dog. So we've been dog sitting for the last 3 days. Wow. So if it's not one thing, it's the other. So it's And the other night, Hillary's dog escaped from his room and came into our room at about 5:30 in the morning.
This little oh my goodness!
So then, of course, he set our dog off. That was the end of it, you know, that was the end of any chance to sleep. So I got up and left Fiona in bed having a sleep, and such is life, eh? So that's my week, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
And I guess we should mention about the next week being the last
next
broadcast
week,
too. Yeah.
Next week is the last one of the season. That will complete 11 years.
Yeah.
So we'll be taking a break from next week, and we'll be starting again on the 8th of September. So Wednesday, the 8th of September, we'll be back. But, you know, if you get bored over the summer and you miss us on Wednesday evenings, of course, there's the whole library of archive recordings that you can delve into and watch some. I mean, if you want a real laugh, pick one from about 5, 6, 7 years ago, and you'll see the difference in quality of the audio and visual. Hopefully the content's improved as well. Next week is the last one, and Barry and I will be just having a chat together about whatever's on our hearts. So come and join us. Come and join us next Wednesday, and then have a summer break, and come back and see us in September.
Crazy that we'll be entering our 12th year.
I know, amazing, isn't it? Where's the time gone, eh?
I'll tell you. But it's like I was telling when we had Helene on last week, I was saying to Helene that it's just like we have had kind of a coffee together every Wednesday for the last 11 years, you know, and I just have a nice chat. And so, and of course, John McDonald was a part of that, a big part of that for quite a while. And when we do this, as Mark and I have often said, is that we're always, you know, pleasantly surprised that anybody wants to join us.
Yes.
So it's kind of one of those things that is, you know, as the Lord willing, as long as, you know, there's people who want to join us for our Wednesday coffee time together on the internet, then we'll keep
still
doing
do
it. So is there anything else new going on, like, or any plans that as far as meetings in the fall that people can start?
I've got
planning
lots
for?
Of plans, but I'm just waiting for the government to agree with my plans. there is one thing that is happening, and that's John McDonald and myself are doing a school in Scotland. Starts the last day of July, runs the first week of August. There's still a few spaces available. for that school in Scotland. Fatherslovescot.com, fatherslovescot.com, or go to my website, Father to You, and you'll find a link to it. But we've got places, so if you're in the UK or you want to come over, if you can get to the UK, very welcome to join us. We're hoping that there will be some live events in Europe in the autumn, but we're really just waiting to see how travel opens up. It seems that, you know, more and more gatherings are allowed, you know, locally or nationally, but it's kind of us getting into some of the other countries. I know Trevor and I are hoping that we might be able to get to the Netherlands, but we've just got to wait and see at the moment. I'm hoping to get to Poland, but you know, it's just like everything at the moment, it's all up in the air.
Well, the airplanes
aren't up in the air, but
well, they have to be at some point. And as I mentioned to Mark before we came on, that Canada is still closed down as far as the borders to the U.S. and for the rest of the world. So we are, hopefully, you know, we will see some change as well. One of the things that is really interesting that Mark and I have been doing this for so long, but yet, you know, we have always had the ability to be in person as well. So it's kind of not like all in one, but it's both. And I know for me, the internet is amazing and it gets us to be in multiple countries at the same time. But there is something that, I think especially this being over 15 months of this kind of separation, that there's something of being in a room with real people, looking in their eyes, that you know, it's a very unique experience. And one of the things I'm hoping for worldwide is that, you know, people will just have a greater appreciation for being together, you know, in whether it's family or community or church or conferences or those things, because, you know, maybe we've taken it for granted in the past, but
And I think the reality is that, as you know, what I've found from talking to people, as things begin to open up, people are so unused to being together. It's almost like it's almost exhausting to be together, because we're not used to it. But we were made for relationship. We were made for connection. And I say the sooner we get back to it, the better.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, you got anything lined up, Barry?
Nothing really. There are some possible international travel things that may be coming, but again, we can't, even with our own country being closed down at this point. We hope that, like you said with you, that, you know, we're doing well as a nation with vaccinations and all those things. So some of you who are on, you know, I'd like to see you face to face one day, but we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, we have this, right?
Yes.
And you know what? This is way better than no connection at all. So.
And this is way better than what we started with 11 years ago.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I sent Mark, you get these Facebook memories, and I don't know, I it was a Facebook memory that I had shared of a webcast years ago. And I was just like, wow, it's just memories of how the technology has changed, how our studios have changed, how, And as Mark said, hopefully the content has grown alongside of the technology. Hopefully it's not gone the opposite. But yeah, technology up and our content down. But anyways,
I don't think so, Barry.
I hope not.
Anyway, do you want to just pray for us, Barry, and then I'll kick
absolutely
off and then draw you back in a bit.
Absolutely, Father, we thank you that you are so faithful. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, because you cannot deny who you are, and you have joined your heart through the finished work of Jesus to us forever. And as we just take this moment, this time in our life, in history, we'll never get this hour back. This is a precious hour of our life, Father. I just pray that even now, that our hearts would still and we would rest and we would know that you are God, and that we would hear what you are saying to us, even in the midst of anything that we're going through. Father, I pray a sense of peace and rest and reassurance and comfort would just visit each one of us tonight. Pray a blessing on my brother Mark as he shares. Pray for clarity. I pray that, that he's just a good son who represents his father well. And I just pray a blessing on him too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Barry. I'll see you in a bit.
All right.
So, welcome, everyone. I want to talk this evening from a very well-known passage in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. I've just been reading that quite a lot. Well, I've been reading the first three chapters of Ephesians over the last week or so. And as I read through Ephesians chapter 1, I catch hold of Paul's enthusiasm for what he's writing about. In fact, from verses 3 to 14 in the original, Paul's original dictation, verses 3 through to 14, it was literally one sentence. Thankfully, our Bible translators have broken it down and put a few commas and full stops in place. But Paul got on a roll, you know, and I can imagine his the guy doing his scribing was kind of getting a bit left behind, saying, you know, hang on, you know, I need to catch up and, you know, and stuff. But he's really excited by this. And these verses are the spiritual blessings that are our inheritance in Christ, you know. And I want us to read it. And what I did the other day, I know we got it in the Bible, but I sat down with my notebook and I made a list of all of the individual blessings that are ours in Christ that Paul mentions in these few verses. And it's a long, long list. And I can see why Paul was so enthusiastic about it. So I want us to read it, and the words are going to come up on the screen. What I'm really talking about tonight, and you'll see when we get there, is that we would know him, that we would know him better. You know, that our hearts would come alive. And I believe our hearts can come alive as we read these few verses and we see what we have been blessed with, who we are in Christ. So let's just take it from Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read all the way through to verse 19, but I'm going to pause at various stages and just comment on a few things. But verses 3 to 14 are the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. So verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And I just want to make a few obvious points as we go through this, because sometimes we lose sight of it. Paul is talking about the Father. You know, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, these blessings that we're going to be looking at, these things that Paul is so excited and enthusiastic about, they are blessings for you and me that come straight from the heart of the Father. And, you know, I know sometimes we lose sight of how good the Father is. You know, I think some of us still think he's a bit distant and a bit angry, and he's judging us, and he's, you know, he's looking at us with the score sheet of how we're living our lives. But here, it couldn't be any clearer. Paul says, Father, you are the one who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. You know, that's our true home, is in the heavenly realms. Here, today, we are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, not just a few, but every spiritual blessing. So praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us, the Father chose us in him, in Jesus. The Father chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Isn't that just incredible? That I'm going to get as enthusiastic as Paul, you know. Isn't that incredible? Before the creation of the world, you were chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. You know, wow. You know, whatever your day's going like, whatever's happening, this is the truth, that the Father chose you. You know, sometimes we can read these verses and there's too many he's, you know, he and him, and we think, which one is it this time? But Paul is talking to the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and it is the Father that chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. The Father chose you. The Father chose you. You know, just pat yourself, do yourself good. This is good news. You know, the Father chose you. And in his love, in the Father's love, in the fullness of who the Father is, God is love, right? In that love, out of his own nature and his character, he predestined us for sonship, for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. That our sonship comes to us through our relationship with our big brother, the Son Jesus. Now, we've talked about this many times and I don't want to go into it this evening, but that word adoption is not a very good word. If you read Trevor Galpin's books, you'll understand why not. But a better way of putting it is to receive the full rights of sonship. So in and out of the Father's love for us, he predestined us to receive the full rights of sonship through his Son, Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will. I mean, this is really, really good news. It was because of his pleasure that he chose us. Not because he had to, not because the rule book said he had to, but because he wanted to, because of his great pleasure for us, because of his love for us, because of the fullness of who the Father is, he chose us to receive the full rights of sonship, to live as Jesus lived, simply because he wanted to. It was his good pleasure, it was his will, and it was for the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So he's given us his glorious grace freely through Jesus. This is incredibly good news. Can you see how the Apostle Paul got so enthusiastic about this? Because, you know, this is God's idea. This is what he wanted to give us as his family, as his sons and daughters. And this has always been his plan. And, you know, this is what he has opened the door through Jesus for us to come into. That he wanted us to live in this glorious, intimate relationship. And when you read this, it kind of feels like it's a fun-filled relationship. You know, it's not meant to be boring. It's not meant to be miserable. It's not meant to be hard work. You feel the enthusiasm of the Father's heart coming through the Apostle Paul. You know, he's freely given it because of his glorious grace that we would receive the full rights of sonship through his Son, Jesus. That's what he chose us for. And in order to bring us into that place of sonship, in order to bring us through that, into that intimate place of relationship, we had to be redeemed from our sin. So in him, in Jesus, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You see, it's generous, it's lavish. You know, it's like God wanted this to happen, and he knew that the only way for it to happen was for us to be redeemed from a life of sin, a life of loneliness, a life of orphanness, and brought back into this glorious redemptive life where we can live in the center of his pleasure as sons and daughters. This is good news. This is really, really good news. You know, you can see how Paul was so enthusiastic and excited about it, and how, you know, he's just rattling it off. I mean, I'm taking a bit of time over it, but Paul was dictating this to his scribe, and, you know, he was doing it almost without taking a breath. You know, it was his good pleasure to make known to us what was in his heart. The mystery of his will has been revealed to us simply because he wanted to, because he wanted that relationship with us. He wanted us to enjoy the same relationship with him as his son Jesus enjoys. Where were we? He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. You know, this is the Father's plan, is to gather things together and deal with the brokenness and the division and the pain that just causes so much separation, and to bring us back into unity under heaven and earth in Christ, that we would become one with him and therefore one with one another. In him we were also chosen. So in Jesus we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. You know, it's like God has a plan and he's brought us back into it. And he's working, he is the one. You know, I think sometimes we get so wound up about how do we work out God's plan for our life? How do we work out his purposes? How do we see his purpose come to us? And we forget that he's the one who's working his plan out. He is the one who is working the plan out. And all we have to do is flow with what he's doing and go where he goes. We were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with a seal, a promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You know, Paul is cheering it on and saying, this is all good news. We were included in Christ. We were saved. We were given the message of truth. We've been marked with the Holy Spirit. We've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is kind of like just the foretaste of what is to come. It's the forerunning. It's the deposit, as he says here, that is like something to give us now so that we know. Because receiving the Holy Spirit now links us through the Spirit to our eternal future. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are linked, we are connected with that glorious eternal future that is ours. And this was all done for the praise of his glory. And then I feel like Paul takes a deep breath. And I think his the guy he's dictating to probably goes, whew, thank goodness that's over. You know, it's like, where are we going now? You know, and he kind of sits back waiting for the next, but he's probably exhausted after doing this one sentence. And Paul takes a deep breath and he says, for this reason, right? For this reason. And it really struck me the other day what those three words are there for. Those three words, for this reason, because of this, you know, because of what has happened, because of these spiritual blessings, because of all this amazing inheritance that the Father is pouring out upon us, because of this, Paul says, because of this, ever since I heard about you, I haven't stopped praying for you and giving thanks for you. You know, Paul says, you've received this incredible inheritance. You've received these amazing spiritual blessings in Christ. And because you've received all of this, I'm praying for you. And now I just want to look at what Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and therefore praying for us too. Because he's praying for two specific things. And he is asking the Father to give us two specific things for two specific reasons. And I want to look at those because it follows on so much from this. And just as we've seen how Paul was so excited and enthusiastic about all of these spiritual blessings that have been poured out for us and given to us and invested into our heart, they were put into our heart in order that we would be able to receive and understand these two particular things that Paul goes on to ask for. So Paul's taken a breath. We'll take a breath and we'll carry on through Ephesians chapter 1. We're now at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about you, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. I remember you in my prayers, and I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the glorious Father. I keep asking the glorious Father to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So the first thing that Paul asks for is that the Father would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he underlines it. You know, he's absolutely clear here. He's talking to the Father. And he's asking the Father to give us something that we desperately need. And he's saying, Father, will you give these people a spirit of wisdom and revelation? You know, it's like he's underlining it. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I added those words, who, by the way, is the glorious Father. Father, would you give them, and he's saying it for us too, Father, would you give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation for the express purpose of getting to know him better? Getting to know him better. And I believe the him there is the glorious Father. You know, I keep asking the glorious Father to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that will enable you to get to know the glorious Father better. See, Paul is asking the giver to give us a gift. And that gift enables us to know the giver in a deeper, more intimate way. Revelation, as we've often said, is drawing back the curtains to see something that we've not been able to see before. And Paul says, may that curtain be drawn back so you can see who God really is. That he is your glorious Father. That's what I believe this revelation that Paul is so excited about, is that you and I would see who God really is. In John chapter 8, there's a lovely little phrase. I think it's in, I can't remember which verse it is, but in John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, in the middle of his verse, he just says this one phrase, which is, my Father, who you call God. What a difference. You know, it's the same person they're talking about, but one of them says, he's my Father. And the other group says, he's our God. You know, and it's a completely different relationship. And what I believe Paul is asking for here is that we would have that revelation that moves us from simply seeing God as God to seeing him as the glorious Father. Not just the glorious Father, but our glorious Father, my glorious Father. You know, God, oh, you really are my Father. See, all of these spiritual blessings, Paul says, for this reason, all of these blessings have been given to you, and I want you to know the giver. I want you to get to know the giver in a deeper, more intimate way. I want you to get to know the giver is the glorious Father. And my prayer for us today is that just in this time together, we would get to know him better. And what we would take away from this time together is a desire and a longing in our heart to pursue the Father with all of our heart, soul and mind. You know, that we would get to know him better. You know, getting to know someone better is not, you know, we don't just talk about it tonight and I pray a prayer at the end and Barry prays a prayer at the end and we all know the Father better. I mean, I hope we do. I hope we get to know him better this evening. But to get to know someone better means to get to know them better and better and better and better. And that's the journey that we're going to be on. Is that, and I want us to take away from this evening a desire in our heart, not just for today to get to know him better, but when we wake up tomorrow morning to say, Father, how can I get to know you better today? And then the next day, so that we go on this journey of the glorious Father being revealed to us, so that we get to know who he really is. See, I see the whole Trinity involved in this verse. You see, the glorious Father is giving us a spirit of wisdom. And in the Bible, in Scripture, wisdom and Jesus are often put together. And revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. So we got the Father, we got the Son, and we got the Holy Spirit all in this together, all with the desire to sort of squeeze us into the direction of knowing the Father better. That's what he wants. And you know, my prayer is that we would catch hold of the incredible enthusiasm in these few verses, and it would be a seed that is sown in our heart that says, Father, I want to get to know you better. I want to walk with you. I want to discover your nature. I want to discover your personality. I want to discover what you're like. And as we discover what he's like, we will want to walk in his ways. We will want to be like him. We will want to follow him. And that's the only way I've decided that I can become holy. I've tried many other things and they don't work. But I've decided the only way that I can become holy is just to set my eyes on him and to walk with him and to seek to get to know him better. So Paul's prayer is, he's asking that the giver would give us a gift that enables us to get to know the giver better. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul says, I want you to get to know the Father. I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but I also want you to receive something else. I want you to receive the gift of enlightened eyes. The word enlightened means to see with understanding. To see with understanding. So Paul is praying here that we would see something and we would understand it. And it's not with our head, but it's the eyes of our heart would see something. And as we see with the eyes of our heart would understand. That's so much more exciting than understanding something in the mind. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would see something that you haven't seen before. And as you see it, you will understand it. And what he's praying that we would see, he is praying that we would see the hope to which we've been called, the riches of the inheritance that he has invested in us. What is that hope? What is that glorious inheritance? Well, I believe we've seen it already. We've seen it in the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 1, that we were chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, to receive the full rights of adoption, the full rights of sonship, So the glorious inheritance that is called us to, the hope that is called us to, is simply a life of sonship. And it's as we live a life of sonship that his power is released through us. You see, this prayer is incredible. Paul is asking the Father to give us two things. And each thing has a purpose. He wants us to get to know him better, but he also wants us to get to know ourselves better. He wants us to know that we are sons and daughters, that the full rights of sonship have been given to us, so that we can live in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. I think this is good news, folks. And this is my prayer. This is what I'm asking the Father to do today, is to show us with the eyes of our heart what is really being said here. That we would really, really see who God is. This is, Paul is praying that we would get to know the Father better and we would get to know ourselves better. That we would know who he is and we would know who we are. And it's, because of all these blessings have been poured into our heart for this very, very simple reason, is that we can know the Father and we can live as sons and daughters. I think this is good news. This is just so exciting. And yes, we'll wake up tomorrow and we might be having a bad day. Yes, there will be things that go wrong in our lives. Yes, we will hit crises. Yes, we will hit trauma. Yes, we will hit loss. Yes, we will, life isn't rosy all the time. Life is difficult. Life has challenges. But the good news is these spiritual blessings have been poured out into our hearts through Christ, and they are never taken away from us. God is the glorious Father on the good days, and he's the glorious Father on the bad days. We are sons and daughters on the good days, and we're sons and daughters on the bad days. This spiritual truth that Paul is praying for here does not change. I pray that the eyes of your heart would see it with understanding. And my prayer for us this evening, my prayer for us today, is that we would see with understanding what is being revealed to us, that we can truly get to know the glorious Father. Let's go on into Ephesians chapter 2, because it gets better, I think. Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Yeah, boy, don't we know it. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We used to live a pathway of death in sin. But we have been redeemed out of that into a pathway of life. Do we still sin? Yes, of course we do. Does it have an effect on us? Of course it does. Does it stop us entering our eternal inheritance? No, it doesn't. You were dead, past tense, in your transgressions and sins, but now you have been made alive. All of us live, we all live like that, he says. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest of them, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is the glorious Father, because of the Father's great love for us, because of the nature and personality of the one who is love, God, the glorious Father, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved, and don't we know it? Do you know the problem is most of us know that we're saved by grace, but we want to hang on to it by works. And that's where our problem comes. We've been saved by grace, and we live by grace in this journey where we follow the Father. It's not that we're saved by grace and we live by works. We're saved by grace and we live by grace. God raised us up. God raised you and me up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Isn't that amazing? We don't even have to have the faith ourselves. The faith we need, the very faith we need, is given to us as a gift. The glorious Father gives us the faith we need. It's not through works, so that no one can boast. If it was through works, you know, some of us would do better than others, and we would boast and say, look how good I am, look what I've done, look what I've achieved. And the Father says, no. It's nothing to do with your works. It's simply because I've given you this gift of faith, and you are now living this life where I see you. The Father says, I see you seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For you and I, are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared for us in advance. You can see the excitement and you can see the enthusiasm of this passage, these verses that we've read, that God the Father has done good things for us. He has given us a good inheritance. He's poured out all these blessings into our lives. Why? Simply because he loves us, and simply because he wants us to be like his son Jesus, walking and living in sonship. And then Paul takes, for the second part of chapter 2 of Ephesians, he takes a little bit of a digression. And then at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, for this reason. Now, we've already seen that, haven't we, in chapter 1. You know, for this reason, because of all these great spiritual blessings, I'm praying that the Father would reveal himself to you, that you would see who he really is, and that you would see who you really are. And now you've been made alive in Christ. Your sin has been cancelled out. You know, because of his love, you're seated in the heavenly places. He's prepared good works for you to do in advance. Because of this, you know, he comes back from his digression in chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, because of this, because you've been made alive, you know. And then he gets sidetracked again, and he comes back to it in verse 14, and he says, for this reason, he's got back to where he wanted to be, for this reason, because you've been made alive with Christ, because he's seated us in with Christ in the heavenly realms, because of this, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Boy, it's no wonder we need to be strengthened. You know, I read this and I think, wow, my spirit, my heart needs to be strengthened. It needs to be stronger to contain all that's just gone before. You know, all of the spiritual blessings, all of being, you know, understanding, what seeing with understanding, that I've been made alive with Christ. Wow, it's, you know, it's no wonder I need to, you know, I can't contain this. You know, this is too much for me. This is too big. And Paul says, don't worry, Mark, it's okay. I'm praying that the glorious Father will strengthen you through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know that this love goes beyond knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, Paul's conclusion is, may you know how vast the love of God is. The love of the Father that is expressed to us in Christ. May you know how big it is. Paul's prayer, these two prayers in Ephesians, are just an incredibly joyful expression of who God is for us, that he is the glorious Father, and who we are, that we've been made alive in Christ as sons and daughters. And he said, can you understand how much the Father loves you? Can you understand how much he loves you? That you are rooted and established, rooted and grounded, planted in love, that our little lives are taken like a little fragile seedling and planted in the pot of pure love. What does soil do to a plant? It gives the plant energy to grow. It gives the plant life. It gives the plant nutrients. When we're planted as a little tiny seedling in the pot of the Father's love, that love causes us to grow. It gives us energy, it gives us strength, it gives us life. The source of everything we need, the source of everything we are, is found in one place, and that's in the incredible love of the Father. And this last phrase here, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I can't even begin to get my head around what that looks like. You know, what is the fullness of God? What is all the fullness of God? I mean, that's a lot of fullness, right? That's a pretty big measure of fullness. And Paul's prayer for us is that we would be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Amen. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. Our imaginations on their best day are not creative enough to imagine and believe in everything that he wants to do in us. And it's simply because of his love for us. I'm going to invite Barry back on now. It's, you know, I just see this as Paul is saying, don't you know who God really is? That God is the glorious Father. Don't you know who you really are? That you're the sons, his sons and daughters. That you're seated with Christ in heavenly realms. You're rooted and grounded in love. I'm going to invite Barry on, and then I think we just want to pray. And I just want to pray that this spirit of wisdom and revelation would fill our hearts. That the eyes of our heart would see with understanding who God really is and who we really are. I think if the Apostle Paul can get excited about this, I kind of feel we can as well.
Amen to that, my brother. My gosh, that if we can't get excited about the book of Ephesians, I don't think we have a pulse.
I just kind of think it's good stuff.
Well, you know, I kind of go back to this whole idea of it's so big, it's so vast, it is so immeasurable, it's so good that we don't have a grid to in our adult mindset in our intellect to grasp how good this is.
Yeah.
And of course that's why we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because that is the only way the Holy Spirit is a gateway into the kingdom, into an immeasurable kingdom that is beyond our wildest dreams. And yeah, so I'm with you, bro. Let's pray that we're filled with the full measure of the fullness of God.
All of the fullness.
All of the fullness. That's a lot. Lot of fullness.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are the glorious Father. And I simply ask today, Father, that we would get to know you better. That we would get to know who you are. That you are our glorious Father. You're not just the glorious Father, but you're my glorious Father. And Father, I want to get to know you better. May that be the prayer on each of our hearts, that we would get to know you better. Not just this evening, but tomorrow, the next day, these coming weeks, we would get to know you better. Father, I do pray for a divine revelation in this moment right now. That spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we would be able to see with understanding things we haven't seen before. Father, I do pray for that divine revelation to come into our spirits right now. And even in this moment, we would get to know you better. We would see you in a different and new way. That we would realize that our little lives are planted in this huge pot of love. That is the very thing that gives us energy and life and sustains us and causes us to grow. That you indeed, Father, would fill us with the fullness, all of the fullness of Christ right now. This is more than we can ask or imagine. But we know you want to do it simply because we're your sons. And you created us for your good pleasure. Thank you, Father. May we really just get to know you better.
Yeah.
May we get to know you better. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah. Yes, Father. Expand our capacity to receive your love.
Yeah.
Father, would you just take our love tanks and it's like... I just have this picture of a water balloon, and we think we're full, but we have no idea that water balloon can be stretched beyond our wildest dreams, filled with the full measure of the fullness of God. So, Abba, we just ask in a childlike faith, childlike simplicity, childlike joy, childlike expectation. Father, would you just fill us? Fill us with your love. Tell us again how much you love us, how you've loved us from before the foundations of the earth, how you chose us to be in your family, how our life makes you smile, how we were created for your pleasure. Yeah. Abba, we just ask now that there would just be an interaction with eternity in our hearts, Father, that would just go beyond human reason. Yeah. And Father, every way that we have tried to relate to you through our understanding, through our own life experience, through theological teaching, Father, I pray even in this very moment that there would just be an awakening in our spirit being, that we would know that we are rooted and grounded in love, and that you would just give us the power by your Holy Spirit to grasp how deep and how wide and how long and how high your love is. Abba, this is way bigger than we could ever do in our own effort, Father. I thank you for the promise that says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. You do the work, you do the pouring. Father, just help us even in this moment to just be little receivers of your goodness, little receivers of your immeasurable kingdom that lives within us. Whoa, Father. Thank you that you want us to know your love more than we want to know your love. So help us, Father, not to be afraid that we're going to miss out or that you're going to pass us by. You emptied the bank to secure our love. So we just, by faith, as little kids, we just by faith receive that love. Yeah. Well, by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are opening the eyes of our hearts, even right now. Yeah. So that we would know the hope of our calling and the glorious inheritance that we have together with all the saints. Mm-hmm. Oh. Abba. Wow.
Good stuff. I just encourage you all to get to know him better.
Yeah.
And catch hold of the enthusiasm the Apostle Paul had, and I hope has come across from us this evening.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. There's actually just one thing I'd like to mention just before we finish, and that is I'm running a new series of seminars with Trevor Galpin, Monday the 13th of September through to Wednesday the 15th of September. It's called Encounter the Father's Love. All of the information, the booking form and everything else is on my website, fathertoyou.com/encounter. And you're really welcome to join us. Invite your friends to join us. It's going to be a really clear and good introduction to the love of the Father, who the Father is and who he is to us. And really just want to just encourage you to join us and invite your friends along to be with us as well. So fathertoyou.com/encounter in September, and Barry and I will be back next week. So thanks again.
Absolutely.
For joining us. We'll see you then.
Thanks. Lord bless you guys. Have a great week.